And I'm Pastor Sherry.
And we're from Grace Christian Center. Welcome to Grace Christian Center Online. We're delighted to have you with us this morning and to join us in this way. We know in this kind of a time, it's frustrating to not be able to get together. But we're doing what thousands and thousands of churches all across America are doing.
Yes.
We're live streaming. We're doing a different version of our normal Sunday morning service in order to be able to fellowship, even though we have this social distancing. Fellowship is not restricted. Spiritual distancing is not restricted. But we're into this 15 days to flatten the curve, and
That's right. We're doing
our part to cooperate with it. But we want you to be assured we are looking forward to getting back together again with you very, very soon. So we're delighted that you're here with us. The Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 24, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So we're delighted you're with us. Join us for a quick word of prayer. Will you, Lord, we dedicate this time to you. We ask you to be glorified, to be lifted up, that you will be exalted through everything we think, do, and say today. Strengthen your people all across this internet connection. Lord, strengthen the family of God and those who might be looking on who don't yet know you. Lord, we just dedicate this time to you. Let your anointing abide so you can speak to hearts in genuine and authentic ways. We bless your people now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we know there's been a fog out here this morning in Admiralty Inlet. Behind us, normally in Admiralty Inlet, you see the clearest blue water and this gorgeous color of blue. We're privileged, and it's a joy to be able to live where we live and share that picture with you. But this morning's picture is kind of like what's happening in the world
right now. That's really true.
People are in a fog. They're not sure what to do and fighting against perhaps a spirit of fear and concerned about what do we do to get through this. You know, I titled the morning's message that I'm going to be sharing in a little while, "What in the World is Going On?" Well, the only one who really knows is our God, our Father God, and our Lord Jesus. He knows. And so we're here to share with you the good news from the Word of God and to encourage you in your walk with Him. Pastor Sherry, you've got something from the Scriptures this morning?
Well, in our Through the Bible in a Year, we're reading from Psalm 37 today, and I'd like to share from verses 9 through 11. David is talking about judgment on ungodly behavior, and he says, "But," always when it says but in the Bible, look and see what it's there for. "But those who trust in the Lord will live safe and sound, with blessings overflowing. The humble of heart will inherit every promise and enjoy abundant peace."
Beautiful.
Wow. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? It means to bind together by twisting. To me, that speaks of relationship, to expect, to gather together, to look patiently, to tarry and wait.
Excellent.
That's what we're supposed to do. Trust in what? The world and its ways? No. Trust in the Lord. That speaks to me of relationship, close, intimate relationship with Jesus.
Beautiful.
We see what he's done for us when we're in close relationship with him, and we can live safe and secure. Then we see how grateful we are, and it humbles us. By seeing Jesus shed blood covers all our sins, it equals humility.
It
when we see what he's done for us, when we see how sinful we were, but when we confess and accept him into our own hearts, that's where the blessing begins. And that makes us humble in heart. Then and only then do we enter into peace. We enter into peace even during these troublesome times.
Amen.
What do we need to do? We need to get as close to him as we possibly can. And I want to give you a little challenge. You know, sometimes we don't get as close to him as we can when everything's going great and it's business as usual. But the challenge is, read Isaiah 26:20 and see if there isn't something in that for you today. I'm not going to read it to you. I'm make you go to your own Bible. Go and look it up and see if it doesn't give you peace. Amen.
Indeed. And if you don't have a Bible there with you, you can look it up on your phone. You can look it up on your computer, or your text, whatever it is that you might have that you take a look at the scriptures on. What was that verse again? Isaiah 26:20. Verse 20. Do that today and you will be blessed. Well, what in the world is going on? I'd like you to take those Bibles that you have out now, and I want you to put your finger in a particular text. Go to Psalm 57. We're going to spend a little time in the Word of God. This will be a shorter message, but we're just here to share good news with you as we take this journey together. Again, there's fog all around, fog in the world, but our God is not taken by surprise, nor is He full of fog. So put your finger in Psalm 57, and we'll be getting back to that. What in the world is going on? You've got the virus spreading, and you have hourly, almost minute-by-minute reports in the media about the virus spreading and medical supplies running low. By the way, pray for your first responders, those health practitioners, nurses, care physicians, people in nursing homes, people in the hospitals. They are working night and day on our behalf, and we bless them in the name of the Lord. We'll pray for them again as we come to a time of prayer here this morning. But we really love them and support them. Pray for them. The distancing. We're doing that right now. This is frustrating for us. We love to see you in person, but we're also glad to have this opportunity to be with you online this morning. By the way, hi to all of those who have tuned in and they're online with us. We're delighted that you're here, and we're honored that you're here spending this time with us. You know, remember the social distancing. It began only, about a week ago with groups of 250 or more should be not meeting. So if it's under 250, maybe a day later that changed to 50. And within hours, it seemed like that changed to 10. I have a friend who's pastoring in Salem, Oregon, who told me or who texted that his leaders, whether it was the mayor of Salem or it was the governor, has now declared groups of two or more shouldn't be happening. So, or over two. And, I had another friend who said, well, I've got a family with five kids. Am I already 2.5 times the size too many? No, I think that's social distancing toward others, but they do want you to be able to get outside and exercise. But if you have to go outside to grocery stores, et cetera, keep the proper distance. We're going to cooperate with this. This too shall pass, but we're doing everything we can to keep you healthy and to help flatten the curve is the way they put it. And we're going to do our part. But it doesn't mean we give in to fear. And it doesn't mean we are reactionary or whatever. This is the time to love people, to love our Lord, to love Jesus and love people, love your neighbors and check in on them, see if they need something and are in a hurt. We care and we're concerned for those who have become ill or who have lost loved ones. What a grievous time. On a lighter note, it's an interesting man-made development in fear that has put a run on toilet paper. You see what I did there? And the toilet paper is wiped out in stores. That's as much a joke in that direction as I'm going to go. But that's a man-made fear. But there is grief and fear that is occurring, and we don't make light of that. Let's support one another. Let's be in prayer. Let's take time to prioritize the Lord, just exactly as Pastor Sherry shared beautifully here this morning. Prioritize Jesus, your time with Him. It's amazing, as she and I were sharing together, and she said, I think the Lord has done this or allowed this to happen because we don't always do this on our own, but we need to take time set apart with Jesus, and we're not able to go out right now and be distracted. We're not distracted by the sports. I do miss it. We're not being able to see the things, do the things we might normally do, but We can prioritize Jesus. We can prioritize time in the scriptures. If you haven't been reading the Bible for a while, or maybe ever, pick up a Bible. Go to your text and go to the New King James Version or the Passion Translation or King James and read the Psalms and other scriptures that tell us about the Lord. Love Him, love His Word, be in prayer, the spiritual disciplines, and love your neighbors. But I've got some thoughts for you this morning from the Word of God that I think help to answer at least the question, what in the world is going on? Number one, it's a reckoning time, a time for reckoning. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 to 29, you find that our God is not only a God of love, we all enjoy Him being that, we're so grateful, but He's also the just judge sitting on the throne. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, 25 through 29, don't refuse Him who speaks. And it's got a section there about the fact that He will shake what can be shaken. Regardless of what one might think, the Lord has allowed this time to take place. And everything is being shaken. Those things that can be shaken will be shaken. Why is that? At the very least, one of the most important reasons that's occurring is to shake off what doesn't belong. Possibly, like me, you're still growing in the Lord. Hopefully, not possibly, you're still growing in the Lord, and He's still dealing with us in areas of our lives. And the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit right now, soak in the presence of God, love Him, adore Him, but also, if there's something He's trying to say to you and to me, let's respond to that word. Is He number one? Or did we slip in money as number one, or sports, or our job, or our party, and all of those kinds of things? And those kinds of things, they're all good, but have we put those things before Him? I can't suggest everything. You know in your own heart of hearts if there's something that might have come before Him. And sadly, in our own nation and around the world, a lot of people have become comfortable with no God living. That's twofold. No God is what a lot of people are saying to Him in this hour. They don't want Him. They push Him away. They're not interested in Him. They're saying, no God. And the psalm says, the fool hath said in his heart, no God. You'll see some words in that scripture in italics, and you take those away. That means words that were filled in to make it make more sense or be more clear. The foolish has said in his heart, there is no God. And what it really is the fool has said in his heart, no God. The other way that applies is there are people who just don't even want to think about Him in their day-by-day life. We don't want God. Well, the reality is, He created us in His own image. We like to think that man sometimes can create God in our image, but the reality is He made us. He's the one who holds us in the whirlwind and the storm, the Bible says. And He's the one who loves you so much. This is Resurrection Sunday. Easter time's coming up. We're in the Lenten season, and soon it'll be Good Friday, and the power of what He did for you and me on the cross. And the devil thought he won by taking Jesus' life. Only Jesus was dead, buried, and He rose again. He rose again. He ever lives. He's alive to make intercession for His saints, to pray for you and me. And we're His people. So let's not say no God. Let's not include Him in our lives. This is the kind of time to say, Lord, is there anything You're trying to show me? Anything You're saying to me? Anything that I've put before You? This shaking kind of time is a good time to not be full of fear, but to go ahead and examine our hearts. And if you find something there, it's all because He loves you so much, He wants to show this to you, so you can then say, you know, Lord, I agree with You. Repentance is agreeing with Him about the thing He's showing, ask Him to forgive you, and turn away from that thing, and ask Him to become number one again in your life. So you ask forgiveness, and then you receive His forgiveness. and be part of the shaker, not part of the shaken. It's a reckoning time. Number two, I'm going to use a phrase you might not have heard before, and it's called black swan. I really deeply respect a theologian, a great man of God named Leonard Sweet, as well as Bishop Mark Sharona. And they've both been using this phrase. They wrote a book recently, but it uses this phrase, black swan time, a black swan event. They discovered, you know, for years, throughout history, everybody always said in poetry, you'll find it in ancient times, there is no such thing as anything but a white swan. There's only the one color of swan. But in 1697, in Australia, an explorer discovered a black swan. That became extrapolated into the black swan's theory that says there's an unusual event, a rare, unusual event that occurs that completely impacts everything. You know, times like World War II, times like 9/11, the Great Recession. Life changes and it makes impact forever. I will say to you that I believe we're at one of those kinds of times. Our communication is changing. All across our nation, pastors who have wanted to serve their community and even greater communities are going online. There's digital communication. There's digital giving and offering tithes and offerings digitally and being in touch with each other in this communication style. I think we're going to look back on this time and we're going to recognize it was a black swan time. Some major changes have occurred, and we need to be nimble enough in our faith to change and grow and move as he's changing and growing and moving in our nation and in us. Number three, I want to talk for just a moment about King David at En-Gedi. King David, before he was king, as a teenage boy, probably 15, 16 years of age, some say he could have been a little bit younger, but he certainly wasn't older than that, the prophet Samuel was called by God to ordain and anoint a new person selected to be king in Israel. King Saul had taken the throne, and he was the king. And when he was first selected by the people, he was small in his own eyes, the Bible says. But soon he became puffed up with his own authority. And the reality, the way that God expressed, was he didn't wait for God at times when God said to wait. He didn't fully do what God told him to do. And in fact, by the way, that's the definition of sin. The Greek word hamartia or hamartia means to miss the mark. And it means we don't do what he wants us to do, or we do what he doesn't want us to do. And it's all based on a picture, like you take a bow and arrow and you shoot that arrow toward the target and it just misses the bullseye. That's the definition of sin. You go, well, gosh, it doesn't take much to have sin then, does it? No, it doesn't. We serve a perfect God, but we serve a perfect God who gave a remedy for sin, the Savior, our Lord Jesus. And you can't restrict the message of the resurrection, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ that's effective for every day, not just at Easter. But King David was anointed and by the prophet Samuel, anointing oil. And the Bible tells us the anointing came on him from that moment on. The Spirit of God was upon him. And it was lifted from King Saul. And King Saul became demonically, insanely jealous. And he began to pursue King David to try to take his life. So the reality is, here's this young man who's delighted to be anointed. And all of a sudden, he's full of joy over the promise of God, doesn't know what it means. Well, what it really meant was for years, 7 years, he's on the run from King Saul. How come, Lord, your promises don't always instantly come to pass in our lives? How come there's sometimes a challenge to the promises of God being fulfilled in our own lives? But if we'll let him, God will work things out while he works his promises in. While David was at En-Gedi, by the way, that's by the Dead Sea. Dry and barren around the Dead Sea, an incredible place if you've never been there. Absolutely incredible. Look it up today. But En-Gedi, I call it Engedi Enkedi. There's this gorgeous waterfall, and there's a series of caves, and there's only two places around the Dead Sea where there's fresh water. And the fresh water is at this, called it the Cave of David, or the Cave of Engedi. And that's where David was as he ran from Saul. And God began to bring people to him that stood with him. And by the way, that's what the church is for. He brings people to stand with us and stand with you. We stand with you right now. We believe, and we've had great communication from some of you that you're standing with us. We're all in this together in this time. And that's what the church is for. And at the cave of Engedi by the Dead Sea, there was a place of protection, a place of refreshing, a place of fresh life and fresh water. Now let's turn in that light, in that context. David wrote Psalm 57. And I'm just going to give you one verse, verse 1. Psalm 57, verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God, for my soul trusts in you. Be merciful. Actually, it says it twice. Be merciful to me. Be merciful to me, O God, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I make refuge until these calamities have passed by. The King James says, until these calamities be overpassed. The reality is this ties directly into what Pastor Sherry shared. I didn't know what verse she was going to share this morning, but this is a direct tie. The Lord's saying something for us this morning. Come into the shadow of his wings till these calamities be overpassed or passed by. The picture of that verse, that picture of under the shadow of his wings, it's not only under the wings of the cherubim over the ark of his covenant in the temple. That's not it, but that is part of it. That's a beautiful place to be in his presence. But this especially, the picture is about the brood of the hen running under the wings of the hen when predators are close by or when storms come. And the brood just waits right there, protected and sheltered under those wings. And Jesus, he is our refuge, our protector. He keeps us safe. And it says, in you, I have hope. The scripture tells us to put our hope and trust in him. Let me just complete these thoughts with a final story. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had some occasional electrical storms, some thunder and some lightning. And we were sitting there studying, I think Pastor Sherry, she was in the laundry room and doing some work. And all of a sudden, bam, the loudest peal of thunder literally I've ever heard in my entire life. And the brightest flash of lightning came. And they came right together. Now, you have understood, like I've understood, you see the flash of light, and then you count off the seconds, and then when the peal of thunder comes, that gives you the sense of the distance of how far away that was. They came together, literally. I'm talking about the loudest boomer. The house trembled and shook, and I think that the thunder and the lightning probably happened right behind me in Admiralty Inlet. I swear, I thought it was hitting our house. Whoa! Okay, Lord, you got my attention. I know you're in charge. You got my attention. I literally sat up and I went, whoa, whoa, whoa! But immediately, sincerely, immediately, my thought went to my wife, Sherry, because she doesn't like thunder and lightning. She doesn't like those times. In addition, there's another little girl in our home, and her name is Yummy. And our little dog, a Shih Tzu Pomeranian, hates thunder and lightning. So not only did the shaking occur with that, but she's shaking. But the picture is this. When the shaking came, I went straight for those I love. I went to my wife. I went to our little dog. And I held them to make sure they knew they were all right. They're loved. they're cared for, and they're safe. Judgment came on sin. You and my sin, your sin. Judgment came on it because it came on Jesus. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary with arms outstretched, and he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And he spoke into reality that forgiveness and that grace of God. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. He loves you so much that he didn't just have the boomers go off. He's not just shaking in a day of reckoning. He's not just judge. He is a just judge. But that sin, the judgment on that sin, was taken on Jesus on the cross. And now the Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love, that's found in Jesus. So my prayer for you this morning is that if you have not yet done so, you will give your life to Jesus. Give him your life. He loves you so much. What in the world is going on? Well, one of the things that's going on is he's trying to help us find a fresh path in his presence, where we soak in his presence, we love him, and we take that love out to the world. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I hope that includes you this morning. Let's pray. Follow me in prayer if you have not yet done that. Lord Jesus, today I recognize that I'm a sinner, lost without you. And I pray that you would come into my heart, save me, forgive me of my sins, wash me clean by your blood shed for me at Calvary. And right now, Lord Jesus, I repent of those sins and turn away from them. And I surrender my life to you. And I give you everything within me. Now, for those of you who have already given your life to Jesus, this is a day to not be afraid, but to recognize the fog will lift. He's the God who walked on the water. He's the God who has you and me right here in his hands. What I'm going to do is disappear from the screen for a moment, and I'm going to sing a song. And if you can hear it, I hope it comes out clearly. The song is called "Be Still and Know." If you know it, some of you do, go ahead and sing along. The Lord gave me this song about 21 years ago now, but it's all about being his child. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Be still and know that I'm your Father. I'll never let you
go. Yours to my son, no matter what you have done, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am your Father.
Today, I encourage you, be still and know that He is God. He loves you, and we love you, and we're so glad that you've taken time to be with us this morning. If you've given your life to Jesus today, email us. I know that's old-fashioned, but it's kevinhunter@aol.com, very simple, kevinhunter@aol.com, and sherryhunter@outlook.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're strengthened by what the Lord has spoken to you this morning, today, as you've watched this, share with us. Let us know. And remember, you can find us with lots of messages and materials for you online at gracechristiancenter.us. gracechristiancenter.us. Pastor Sherry, any final thoughts?
No, I've prepared the message meditations, and they're questions for you to think on and meditate on as you review in your mind the message that Pastor Kev just spoke. If you'd like a copy of those, just send us a request and give us your email address, and I will email those to you.
Excellent. Thank you. And remember, if you have a prayer request, you can go to gracechristiancenter.us and put your need, make your need known on the prayer chain. We have wonderful people who pray
constantly
for those in need. And know, please, that we are praying for you. We love you. We pray that this day will be completely blessed. And before you go, I'm going to share a couple of scriptures with you if you want to just receive the word of the Lord. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And another scripture, the amazing grace of our Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit, be with all of you. God bless. Have a blessed day in Jesus.